preaching right now. Hey, do you mind to sing that again when we close? Kyle, can you reboot that till we close? Because it's going to be perfect with what we're preaching this morning. Take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 4. And if you're wondering, I'm going to make some references. There are going to be these references are from Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, and Luke 8, 23 as well. So if you're wondering, if I make a reference that you don't see in Mark chapter 4, that's where it's from. The Gospels were written by four different people, and they had four different points of view of the same events that happened. So they're witnesses, and they're all telling the story from the point of view of where they've seen it and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But I like Mark chapter 4 for the most part. That's where we're going to be for these next two services. And I'm being honest with you, I'm going to preach a lot of this stuff again tonight. And some of you are going, man, I can't believe you're going to preach again tonight. Well, if it's real good, I might preach it again Wednesday night. And if it's real, real good, I might preach it next Sunday. But there's some points in this that if you get them, it'll hit everybody in this room. I'll sit there and listen to that song, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, why in the world is the church not in the altar yet? I mean, why are we not just standing up, worshiping? How many valleys we got to be in and wonder if God's ever going to see us on another mountain? Golly, I sit there thinking, man, I can think every time I think God has lost control, and He ain't never lost control. Amen? Mark, it's good to have Scott here, ain't it? Anybody get excited when you seen him come in? I did. I played it cool, though. When he tapped me and turned around, and I seen him, I played it real cool. I didn't want to be like, you know, oh my gosh. I was like, never mind. Y'all get it. Y'all don't know the relationship we have. Denise does. I'll tell you how good it is. On Denise's birthday this year, I got a present. All right, there we go. Ain't that true? It's true. So there's the relationship. Amen? Yeah. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, if you will. And that same day, y'all good? I can hear pages turn. I'm going to slow my roll. Amen? And that same day when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I've been reading, ever since God gave me this message, I've been reading in the Scriptures. I've been reading other people's notes. I've been looking at Matthew Henry. I've been looking at Spurgeon. I've been looking at David Jeremiah. I've been looking at all these other people. And I start reading some of the stuff they put into their messages and in some of their notes. And then I just, I mostly rely on the Spirit of God to tell me what to preach, if y'all will. In 8:23 of Matthew, it says, and when He was entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. I love this. David Jeremiah said something like this, that the apostles didn't like it that Jesus had just preached the parable of the seed, and it almost pointed at the fact that the Gentiles were coming in, and they didn't like it, and they put Him in the boat. I don't agree. I don't agree with that. I hate it. I love David Jeremiah, but I believe this. It says Jesus got in the boat and they followed Him. Jesus led them in the boat. Listen, you might want to write this down. You might think you're leading Jesus into some stuff. You might think you're pushing Jesus into something that you want. But let me guarantee you this. You'll never do anything that God doesn't want you to do or allow you to do, not for His great purpose and for your best outcome. Amen? I'm being honest with you. You need to hear it again. God will not. Sometimes I have thought I've got my way. I have wrestled Jesus into doing it my way. It was His way. Amen? It was His way. Hey God, I want this and I want that. All right, go ahead and have it. But you're not in control. I am. I want you to have it. Some things God will let you have to wreck you. He'll let you have everything that you wanted. God, get in the boat right now. Good, that's where I wanted you to go. Come on, follow me. He sat down in the boat, and they got in the boat, and they thought, all right, let's get out of here. All right. Amen? You ever thought you was getting Jesus to do something you wanted Him to do? The whole time, He's sitting there going, I'm in control of your life. Is there anybody in here saved? All right, 6 or 10 of you, great. You're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Praise God. And you still try to run stuff. You still try to be under control. You still, these 12 disciples have figured it out. Oh, gee, who's going to be the greatest? What are we going to do? Hey, Jesus, tell him. Hey, Jesus, do this. One of them's mama comes up. Hey, put my boys in charge of everything. We're not in control. Jesus is. Things are not working out your way. They're working out God's way. I love when Jesus gets in the boat. You know what he said? Let's go to the other side. Write that down. If you're a Christian, write it down. If you're a believer, believe it. Is there anybody in here saved? Guess what? We're going to the other side. Some of y'all sit here and think, well, God, what are you doing? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I'm taking you to the other side. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus will make everything else a liar. Jesus will make science a liar. Well, science says you can't calm a storm. Amen? Science, God, I wish y'all would help me preach. Hey, science says a human being can't walk on water that's not frozen. Liar. Liar. Jesus makes science lie. You know what I mean? If God says something, you can mark it down as the truth. Amen? Science is a liar. Politics. Well, you know they're lying. Amen? They lied just to be lying. Amen? But praise God, you're not a king. Where is your kingdom? If you're such a great king, where is your kingdom? He's a king. Amen? He was a king, so great of a king, he became a servant. Amen? He was such a great king that all the universe revolved around him and he spoke it into existence. Amen? Guess what? He makes men liars. You'll never be anything. If God says you will be, you will be. Amen? You're going under. Not if God says I'm not going under. Amen? He'll make doctors liars. He'll make somebody, if they get a prescription, if they tell you this is what you're going to die. You've got cancer. You've got this. You've got that. You've got diabetes. God says, that's a lie. Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all don't want to believe that, but it's true. Jesus walked by blind people. I don't want you to be blind anymore. He made a doctor a liar. Amen. I'm a leper. No, you're not. Amen. I'm lame. I was lame since birth. I can't walk. God makes doctors liars. God makes your body a liar. Y'all ever read in the scripture? I love when it talks about in the Bible when people are lame and when people are sick or when people are blind. When Jesus touched them, they don't even have to go through any kind of recovery. They don't even have to go to therapy. I mean, there's a guy in the Bible who hadn't walked for 35 years. He said, get up. Well, you don't think I'm going to have to go to therapy and learn how to walk, do you? No, he leapt, he ran, he praised, he shouted, and oh my God, he went to church. Some of y'all have been touched by God, but you won't show up at the house of God. No. Preacher preaching on attendance. I hate that. Don't preach on attendance, preacher. One dose a month's good. One dose every 3 or 4 months is good, preacher. Listen, if you love Jesus, you'll never get enough of Him. You'll never get enough. You'll never say, oh, that's good enough. I'll never get enough of Him. Amen? I want as much as I can get. He's like licking the chocolate at the bottom of the bowl. So you don't even know what that is. If you was really blessed, you ever had your mama hand you one of them mixers? Shoot. Boy, me and my brother about fight over them things. You'd see them when she was taking them off, you'd hoping they wouldn't go into the sink. God is not a liar. He'll make everything else a liar. Amen. Some of y'all need to hear that. Some of y'all talk more death into your life than you do life. Some of y'all say more stuff. I'm this or I'm that. I'm predisposed. I've got this. My dad had that. My mom had that. That runs in my family. Some of you need to get saved and say, you know what runs in my family? The blood of Christ. Eternity runs in my family. Heaven runs in my family. Royalty runs in my family. I'm a devil chasing believer in the Son of God. That runs in my family. I help save people. I help restore people. I'm going to walk through this world. Some of you, oh, well, that's that Church of God stuff. That's that Holy Spirit stuff. Listen, I'd rather be doing that than be spiritually dead in here with you. Amen? I'd rather come in here and know there's a living God who everything's possible than to come in here and say only a few things are possible. Some of the churches have gotten so confounded on their education. Their education is their Holy Spirit. Oh, we're so smart. We're smarter than God. We don't need God to do any miraculous things. Let them get sick. Let somebody be about to die. Let their own prognosis come down on them. They'll be somewhere in an altar saying, God, if you can heal, heal me. Y'all need to shout every once in a while. Wouldn't hurt none of you. Well, preach, we don't like to shout. When you get to heaven, you're going to have to learn to. Might as well practice up a little while you're here. You'll be the only one sitting there going, how do you do it? Let us pass over. We ain't got out of the first verse. We ain't even got out of first gear yet. Some of y'all said, I hope I got a lunch ready. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I've never heard anybody preach on this. You might have, but I ain't, so I feel special. I always see one ship in the water. I always just see the apostles and Jesus. That's it. Mark said there's other little ships out there. There's all kinds of them. Amen? There's all kinds of little ships following the big ship. Amen? Guess what? The ship that they were in had Jesus in it. Amen? He was asleep, but he's in there. Amen? He's resting, but he's in there. Amen? All the other ships were in the same situation. Them ships were in the same body of water. Them ships were going in the same direction. And they all got hit by the same storm. Write this down. This was a gale storm. What does that mean? It was a wind storm, and it came up suddenly. You know what? There's going to be storms in your life that come up, and they're not because you sinned. Some of y'all need to write that down. Because every time a storm hits me, I start checking. I start taking inventory. What did I say? What did I think? What did I do? Amen? But then sometimes I just have to look it up and say, you know what? It ain't what I said. It ain't what I done. It ain't what I thought. It ain't what. You know what it is? This is a storm. Amen? Oh, come on. Amen. Has anybody in here ever been through a storm? Is there anybody going through a storm? Amen? Guess what? When a storm blows up, sometimes it's just a storm and you're going to have to deal with it, but you need to deal with it the right way. Amen? The storm blew up. Everybody has storms in their life. The saved and the lost. The just, the unjust. Hey, guess what? It rains on them, it rains on us. It floods on them, it floods on us. The wind blows on us, it blows on them. It tears their stuff up, it tears our stuff up. We get sick, they get sick. They live, we live. They die, we die. Praise God, that's the truth. But there's one difference. Golly. One difference. When it gets bad enough. Amen? Sorry to say this, but when it gets bad enough. I'm not preaching this whole message this morning. But eventually, they go get Jesus. All the other ships are in the same storm. They're in the same mess. They're rocking and rolling, and they're bailing and failing. Amen? Oh, come on. Have y'all ever bailed and failed? Some of y'all need to say amen a little bit louder. I have bailed and failed in my own life. What that means is I've tried to fix my own problems. And it seems like every bucket I toss out, the devil tosses two in. Amen? And I'm sitting there going, God, would you help me out? I need you. Hey, listen, I ain't going to preach this whole minute, but I was thinking about this. Ever have been in a situation, sis, when the devil's raging and the storm's in your life, and you know Jesus is real and you know he's alive, but you just don't know why he ain't involved yet. Male, you ever been here? Have you ever been in a situation where you're so desperate that you're bailing and you're wanting God to get involved? And you keep looking for where he was. Sharon, like, come on. I guarantee you, every time they threw a bucket of water out there, they would look at the stern of the ship and say, are you going to show up? I believe in you. I'm a follower of yours. Are you ever going to wake up? We're good as Christians sometimes because we'll feel that way, but we won't say nothing. We'll be underwater, but we won't say nothing. All them other ships are looking at the one with all the Christians in it. They're just like us. Golly, y'all need to hear. Yeah, they're mad just like us. Tired just like us. Frustrated just like us. Man, I'm about to have a fit. They have run out of strength just like us. They've run out of control just like us. Somebody else has stood up in their boat. My God. Somebody else has got up in their boat. There's somebody else coming to the helm. Golly, y'all need to shout. Have you ever had Jesus walk up to the stern of your ship and your vessel and your life? Praise God. It makes you look like you know what you got going on. You just didn't have nothing going on until he woke up, got up, and got in control. My God, that's good. All the other boats got their binoculars and got their lenses out. But there's another one in there. He don't look tired. He don't look worn out. He don't look frustrated, joy. He don't look like he's out of control. He looks like he's well rested. He looks like he's got some authority. He looks like he's got some power. My God, it looks like the Son of God in there. He stood up. He's standing up. He's standing at the bow of the ship. I think he's saying something. And that's, all of a sudden, the waters start calming, the winds start calming. I wonder if any of them went, we need to get him in our boat. Hey, boats have life jackets. They have paddles. They got all kinds of stuff. But we need something else in there. We need Jesus in our boat too. I wonder if somebody said, well, we don't need Jesus in our boat. I wonder how many people jumped off and said, oh, I'm going to get off this boat. Some of y'all need to jump out of your vessel and get into the vessel of Christ. Some of y'all for the first time in your life. Because listen, let's see what happens right here. I want to show you something. Listen, oh, this is so good. Verse 37, and there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. My God, my God. Some of y'all are full of the wrong thing. Amen? Oh, let me explain it this way. Maybe y'all understand it. Boats are made to ride on top of the water. Water was not meant for them to be in it. Amen? It was made in such a way that the water was supposed to be on the outside, and guess what? All the good people were supposed to be on the inside. Amen? That's the design of ships and boats. Amen? But somehow, oh my God, somehow in this life, they started taking on water. Okay, a water to a boat is not good. Amen? I know, I'm smart. I'm an intelligent person. Amen? You don't want the water in the boat. You want it on the outside of the boat. Amen? But guess what? All of a sudden, there's more water in the boat than there is on as much as in the in boat as there is on the outside. And it's starting to get lower and lower, even though Jesus is in that same boat. But sometimes we like it. Sometimes we like to have Jesus in the boat. And we like to have a boat full of water too. Some of y'all are going, what was he talking about? A boat full of sin. We like to have a boat full of sin too. As long as our ship keeps sailing. As long as we can stay afloat, we can have Jesus in this boat, we can have sin in the boat. As long as we're still floating along. But let me tell you this, your sin will sink you. It will wreck you. It will cause you to go under. I don't care. You can have as much Jesus as anybody in the world. You can be the most spiritual person in the world. You can have more anointing, more calling, more anything on your life. If you let sin in your vessel too much, you will go under. You're the only person that can get the sin out of your vessel with the help of Jesus. No other person is going to do it. No other person's going to come along and do something magical for you. What you've got to do is you've got to say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of going under. No, y'all. You know what, Chris? I'm sick and tired of having Jesus and sin. I'm sick and tired of having a whole lot of Jesus in my life and a whole lot of sin in my life. It looks weird. It feels weird. It's not right. I would rather just have Jesus. You know what? Jesus would rather you either have sin in your life or Him in your life. Make a choice. Because it looks weird when you got Jesus in your vessel, but all people can see is you going under. Amen? All they can see is you dealing with your sin all the time instead of dealing with the things of Jesus. See, when Jesus is the premier thing in your life, when He is the star of your vessel, when He is in control, all the sin is eradicated, and guess what? Then you are able to go and to work and to serve Jesus in the capacity that you were designed and made for. You're no longer sinking in the thing, God help me, you're no longer sinking in the thing that you were supposed to ride on top of. Christians supposed to ride on top of sin. We're supposed to walk over it. We're supposed to walk on top of it. We're not supposed to be involved in it. So, well, you preachers, all you do is preach about sin. Preach about sin. Preach about hell. Preach about doing wrong. No, what I want you to do is I want you to know this. There is a life that is greater than you can imagine without sin overflowing your life. There's a life without pornography. Sorry. Ruined it. There's a life without lying. Boy, some of y'all don't even know what I'm just saying. There's a life when you tell the truth every time, even when it hurts you, it sets you free. Were you doing that? Yes. Were you going over there? Yes. Did you lie about that? Yes. Did you take the money? Yes. Are you going to pay me back? No. Amen? Are you all right? There's a life that's better than gossip. There is. There's a life better than tail-bearing. There's a life better than pride. I'm ruining my altar call right now. I'm just jacking it up. Just messing it up. God would love it if the Christian church, if the church today come and relinquish their pride. Relinquish our pride. We're better than some people. We're better than most people in this world. You are not. You are under the same grace that was needed to save the meth addict, the heroin addict, the person in the inner city or the outer city. You are no better than anybody else. You're a sinner bound for hell, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, I've worked my whole life. The only reason you've worked your whole life is God gave you the ability to work your whole life. I've had strength. Yeah, because God gave you strength. What have you done with it? How many people have been led to Jesus Christ through your strength and your power and your work? Whew. What if there's somebody you run into who's been handicapped most of their life and led a ton of people to Jesus. And guess what? You get there and you say, God, thank you for the strength. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for all that. And he says, all right, what'd you do with it? I made a great life for myself and my family. How many people did you bring with you? I feel like I've wrecked my sermon. I feel like I've wrecked it this morning. Because you know what? That makes us took a real good look at ourselves. What are we going to do when we stand before God? We're going to have to give an account for this life. He said, well, I don't have a bunch of sin in my life. Can I keep going, anybody? Those who know to do right and do it not, it is a sin. How many times has God got to call you to testify? How many times has God got to call you to do something in the church? How many times has God has to ask you to volunteer? How many times has God asked you to do something and you keep telling him, not this year, not next year, not that, not God, I can't do that right now. I can't afford, I don't want to do, Lord, you know me. And you give him all them excuses and all those years, and guess what? And at the end of it, you're standing there and you say, oh, God, you know, I wasn't a meth addict. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't go out prostitutes. I didn't look at pornography. He goes, yeah, but guess what? I gave you an opportunity time to do right, and you did it not. But you gave us all kinds of great excuses. You gave us all kinds of great excuses. Too tired. Too old. Too young. Not enough time. Maybe next year. Let's all stand. Will you come sing that song, please? Again?